This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2067. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded December 31st, Australia, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Cuba, El Salvador, Eritrea, Korea South, Newfoundland and Labrador, New Zealand, Romania, South Carolina, Spain, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Taiwan, Turks and Caicos, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. First of all, I want to wish every one of you, our listeners and contributors, a great 2021, and urging you to stay safe, take care of yourself and others. My multiple friendly contacts with listeners around the world make this a very rewarding endeavor for yours truly, and let's keep it up in the next year. And since I'm recording this on New Year's Eve, it's too late for any more information about special broadcasts about to occur, and also too late to talk about special broadcasts which have recently been heard, since they're not going to be repeated. However, all this advance info and discussion of what happened is in our World of Radio IO group. Oh, standard disclaimer. In Shortwave Sites, Ian in Australia says there are plans for a Brisbane station on 5045, a plan by a licensee for a 100-watt PEP shortwave broadcast from the islands off Brisbane, Queensland. However, there are only a few discrete frequencies on the 60, 90, and 120 meter bands, which apparently are available for shortwave broadcasters at low power in Australia, and that's one of them. In fact, 5045 has been used and is planned to be used again by Unique Radio in New South Wales, one of our affiliates, which is still carrying World of Radio via webcast. Brian Powell in Sydney replies to that report, not exactly true. There are only three registrations at ACMA for 5045, none licensed to broadcast from that area. But the licensee listed last is located in Queensland. The transmitter is southwest of Sydney at Razorback. Maybe it's a new licensee for the old Aussie radio. Celio Romais in Porto Alegre, Brazil, does a DX report in Spanish for Frequencia Dia, derived from his website, originally in Portuguese, ondascurtas.com. And there's quite a bit of info about Brazilian shortwave operations in the last couple of issues, which I'll summarize in English. Rádio Marumbi in Curitiba had been off the air for a few days from 6080, but he was hearing it again on the 28th of December. Rádio Congonhas is off the air from 4775. They're having difficulty getting replacement parts for the transmitters, delayed by the coronavirus, according to someone at the station, Luis Evandro. Yes, that means the Peruvian Radio Tarma is the only one around 4775 currently, I interject. Radio Inconfidencia continues to be reported on 15190 on Saturdays and Sundays in the Brazilian evenings. They retransmit programming from Radio Inconfidencia FM. Radio Educação Rural in Chefe Amazonas reactivated recently on 4925. It joins the network of Radio Bandeirantes São Paulo during championship football games in Brazil. He says it's rather interesting to hear Radio Bandeirantes again on shortwave, since it's off its own frequencies, even briefly. It was heard on December 28th around midnight 30 with a football game. Some listeners have been hearing two unofficial stations. One is on 6205 around sunset in Brazil, with commercial announcements from Ouro Fino, Minas Gerais, and pop and rock music. The other one has been heard on 6320, identifying as Máquina do Rock. But there's more. From his previous report, dated December 17th, he says for about 2 months, there has been on the air on 12,000 kHz Rádio Transglobe. It transmits selections of music on Saturdays and Sundays. On Saturdays, it's on the air from 17 until 20 UT, and also on Sundays, but with an additional morning broadcast on that day from 12 until 15. He says from the beginning of 2021, Radio Transglobe plans to confirm some reception reports with an EQSL. And one more. Lately, Radio Casa in Amparo, São Paulo, has been heard very well from the beginning of the evening until about 23 UT. It's in Grande São Paulo. According to Alex Costa, it's on 7455. It had been also on the 62-meter band, but currently only on 7455, which I must point out is occupied by radio teletype, at least in North America. Sometimes late at night here, little is propagating on the 31-meter band except some Brazilians, including on the 30-meter band, the time signal station on 10,000 kilohertz, PPE, Observatorio Nacional. I heard it at 0626, December 27th. This is easily recognizable because it has time announcements in Brazuguese and pips every 10 seconds. At that time, it was about equal to or above the level of WWV or WWVH. Last week, we noted that the DRM experiment from Brasilia 11910 was off the air for a few days around Xmas, but as of December 30th, it was back, first reported by ZIG F4MP in Georgia on the DRM in A group via Richard Langley. And I also heard it December 30th at around 2205. But breaking up, not quite strong enough into remotes in Brazil and the Dominican Republic. I was hearing the DRM noise direct, however, with a pretty strong signal after 0627, December 31st. I continue to log a lot of Canadian aeronautical beacons above and below 300 kilohertz. Many of them run considerable power of a kilowatt or even more. However, according to DX Info Center, one with only 25 watts that I heard is YPM on 274 kilohertz from Picanjicum, Ontario. That works out to 43 miles per watt all the way to Enid. It's just over 1 kilomile away. From the Fagstein blog, December 28th, via Eric Flodane, CJMS 1040 has gone off the air again. This time it could be for good. A three-judge panel of the Federal Court of Appeal dismissed its application to appeal a decision by the CRTC that refused to renew the station's license. It's at Saint-Constant near Montreal. On 4940, we're still hearing the anonymous mystery missionary station in northwest South America, seemingly from Colombia, but with Venezuelan time checks and without any explicit IDs. It can be heard with a poor signal direct, but with a sufficiently good signal, usually via the remote in Bonaire, such as at 0145, December 28th, with the usual gospel huckstering in Spanish. But now, an ID has been applied to it at least from one source. The Aoki or NDXE list from Japan now lists it as La Montaña, Colombia, from a place called Maicao. It's M-A-I-C-A-O, which is in northeastern Colombia, right on the Venezuelan border, and also on the main highway across the northern tier linking the two countries. So it's a prime destination for Venezuelan refugees, or at least visitors, and this location is further north than previous direction finding indicated. The question remains, who identified it this way and how? Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, such as reverting to 6145 for one night only, which had been replaced this season by 9700, heard December 25th at 0437 and later. Just as well it's off 9700 during the time Turkey is already on that frequency, but the next night Cuba was back on 9700. Via New Zealand DX Times, more about Radio Elohim, San Salvador, El Salvador, on 1630 kilohertz, that is. Unless this is a typo, it's scheduled from 1630 UT until 0600, therefore not on the air around sunrise. Noted with highly recognizable anthem at 0602 on 10 November, says someone called MSO, reporting to SARV via Radio Melma. Zaharias Yangas in Greece reports the other program of Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea intruding into the 40-meter handband, 7180.02, at 1635 UT. As of December 30th, Ron Howard surveys the frequencies of the clandestines from South to North Korea, which tend to jump around, VOP at 0950, was heard on only three frequencies, 3480, 3910, and 6520. But after 1000, the additional frequencies were heard, 3930, 4450, and 6600. But those are no changes for the seventh consecutive week, while the other station, VOH, at 0943 was also on only three frequencies at first, 3985, 5995, and 6350, with out-of-date news in English and Korean. But after 1000 UT, their other frequencies were being heard as well, 4880, 6245, and 9095. So in this case, they changed all their frequencies from the previous week. On 2598 USB, December 29th at 0143, I was hearing the Canadian Coast Guard Marine Weather in English, but with some reverb, as from two not exactly synchronized transmitters. This is scheduled from VOK somewhere in Labrador, according to DX Info Center. However, the IBList shows, in fact, there are two different transmitter sites for this particular broadcast, Cartwright and Hopedale, both in Labrador. Same frequency, 6 hours later at 0737 UT, I was hearing another marine weather broadcast in English, the first in their early mornings over there after 4 a.m. local, and this time there was only one of them, scheduled as VCP4 in Placentia on the Rock. Radio New Zealand Pacific still continues to have two shortwave transmitters available, but normally only one of them is in use. In New Zealand DX Times, Adrian Sainsbury explains how this works. During a serious cyclone, it's a good reason to bring the old AM transmitter to cover the period when DRM service is also required. There are still two 100 kilowatts. Transmitter 1, circa 1990, is mainly used for backup when transmitter 2 is unwell. The DRM service is scheduled only when individual stations use the platform to relay RNZ Pacific news bulletins. Oklahoma non, during some dead air from KTOK 1000, Oklahoma City, December 27th at 0204, I was hearing some whoop-whooping from the direction of Cuba. That is the defective transmitter of Radio Artemisa, which Terry Kruger has been noting as long as 6 months ago. He calls it the spastic wobbling noise source, still there after 2 or 3 years. You'd think they could have fixed it by now. In the sort of good news department, I heard the DX mailbag on Radio Romania International 6130. UT Sunday, December 27th at 0143, saying there's been a sharp rise in reception reports and letters about programming this year since more people are staying at home listening. South Carolina non, Brother Scare via WRMI 5850, December 27th at 0650, was playing a caller who was accusing Brother Scare of vomiting lies out of his mouth. He was only being played so BS could then denounce him. Alakesh Gupta in India sends a story from Economy Next, December 29th. Sri Lanka has agreed to sell airtime on a former Deutsche Welle relay station in Trincomalee, in the northeast of the island, to UK-based Encompass Digital Media Services London. Germany's DW built the station in Sri Lanka in 1980, mainly for international HF broadcasting, also with a medium-wave transmitter. The station was given to the state-run Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation in 2012. The rise of TV and the Internet has made international broadcasts more accessible, though shortwave retains audiences in many countries. London-based Encompass Media has proposed to transmit shortwave and medium-wave programs from the station. It is offered to pay $49,000 and $16,000 a month for the airtime. The Cabinet of Ministers had approved the proposal in November. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantichertz, World of Radio, 2067. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from George McClintock, Nashville, Tennessee. For a check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. We may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. The half hour in English from Spain is Monday, Wednesday, Friday only, including Xmas Day at 2300 on 9690 for us and the other frequencies. But if you listen at the same time on Tuesday, you will hear a different language, Sephardi, or Ladino, or Judeo Español. If you understand some Spanish or Portuguese, it's very interesting to listen to how this language sounds. There's another broadcast of it Sundays at 22:30. Speaking of Portuguese, from Célio Romain's DX report about Sudan, a tip about how to hear Radio Republic of Sudan on 7205. The frequency is also occupied by China and France, but at 1957 UT, there's a break in transmission from China, allowing Sudan to be heard, and both of those presumably resume by 2000. Here's another tip of a similar nature from Zacharias Liangas in Greece about Sudan on 7204.98. He says it was very undermodulated, but heard until 1658 CRI started in Esperanto. As mentioned last week, Freedom Synergy Radio, the program which is pro-Taiwan and anti-Chaicom, appeared again on WRMI unexpectedly the week before Christmas, occupying the 03 to 04 UT hour on 5800 instead of regular programming. And according to WRMI FB, this was going to happen again the week before New Year's, but the implication is that it's only temporary, and so we hope they'll be back to regular programming in January. I also caught Freedom Synergy Radio at another unscheduled time, Tuesday, December 29th, after 15 UT on 9955, which on weekdays normally closes at 1500. But it was gone again by December 31st. About Turks and Caicos, this via Sven Martinson, Arctic Radio Club via Mauna Ritola, WRTHFB via New Zealand DX Time. From Jerry Kiefer, we learn that the game plan is to do up the 100-kilowatt Nautil transmitter that's been sitting in a crate for 10 years on 530 kilohertz and to reactivate the old 1570 with 50 kilowatts. The tower will be relocated to Providenciales, or Provo, the westernmost island in the Turks, which has better power and air transportation. Never mentioned in this item, but I assume they're referring to Radio Vision Cristiana, the station originating in New York on 1330. Mike Cooper forwards an opinion piece from the Washington Post, December 24th. How Biden can undo damage to U.S.-backed news outlets that counter authoritarian propaganda. It's by Jamie Fly, who is a senior fellow at the German Marshall Fund of the U.S. and is a former president and chief executive of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Authoritarians have long practiced the cynical art of manipulating info to stifle dissent and shape international perceptions of their regimes. But in the digital age, they are armed as never before, reaching into other countries to influence political discourse and spread conspiracy theories. How should the U.S. counter these unrelenting, damaging campaigns by Russia, China, Iran, and others? How should we reach out to global audiences inundated with disinformation and slick lies? In attempting to hold authoritarian regimes to account, RFERL journalists have been beaten, detained, and even sometimes killed. After the Cold War, when RFERL faced congressional elimination in the 1990s, Joe Biden, then a Democratic senator from Delaware, was instrumental in saving the broadcaster. He cautioned in a 1993 Senate report that if federally supported networks become direct agencies of the U.S. government, they will maintain neither the appearance nor the reality of journalistic independence. Now the president-elect will have an opportunity to protect these broadcasters from future attempts to politicize him. His administration should work with Congress on bipartisan reforms to firmly establish how the U.S. government explains its policies to the world and how it bolsters truth in the digital age. RFERL and the other non-federal networks should be granted more independence from the federal government. Their independence and adherence to the truth, even when that runs counter to U.S. policy, are what attracts the loyalty of audiences and differentiates them from their authoritarian competitors. Now, keeping track of world radio broadcasts on WRMI, on December 24th and 25th, the schedule grids were updated, with lots of changes not only affecting our program. World radio times, which had been in effect, have now been canceled or changed, as follows. Saturday at 0130 on 7780 is canceled. Monday at 0130, also canceled on 7780. And Tuesday at 0100 on 7780. While UT Thursday at 0100 has changed to 0130. on 7780 and 5010. Presumably from January, but it was preempted the last 2 weeks in December for special programming. So that leaves these times when we expect to hear WOR on RMI. UT Friday at 0130 on 5850. Now, the parallel frequency 5010 is shown for this on System F, but also shown for System D, parallel to 7780 with other programming. Then Saturday at 1300 on 15770. Saturday at 2300 on 7780. UT Monday at midnight 30 on 7730. Monday at 0230 on 5800 and 7780. Monday at 0430 on 9955. Tuesday at 0330 on 5800 after preemptions for 2 weeks, we hope. Wednesdays at 2300 on 9955. Meanwhile, our WBCQ airings continue Sunday at 2300 on 6160 and Wednesday at 2200 on 7490 via IRRS in Italy, 7290, Mondays at 1901. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight has pulled up some FCC info about WBCQ transmitters and antennas. According to this, besides the 500 kilowatt Continental Custom 420, there are four 50 kilowatt transmitters models as follows, but it doesn't say which ones apply to which frequencies. Collins FRT-22, Gates HF-50C, Harris MW-50 modified, and TMC GPT-40. All of them have a frequency tolerance of 0.0015%. That may seem quite tight, but I compute that at 7.5 MHz, it is a tolerance up to 11 kHz. Also, it shows there's only one antenna for the 50 kilowatt units, a TCI-516-3A-50, with 14.5 dB gain, 245 degrees azimuth, a beam width of 68 degrees, and a vertical angle of 21 degrees. Not unusual for something to be wrong at WTWW, but something was very wrong on December 26th and 27th, either missing on the wrong frequency, or on the air but with hours and hours of dead air, especially Saturday night, early UT Sunday, December 27th. So I can't help but wonder if the bombing at AT&T Nashville impacted Lebanon, as it seems to have disrupted communications in general over central Tennessee and adjacent states, maybe something to do with a studio transmitter link. From Ray Robinson at KVOH 9975, a heads up about some programming changes starting January 1st. Scott Martin's Song in the Night moves to 06 to 07 UT instead of repeats of Jazz Session, but still a nightly hour of big band music, Swing Shift, at 02 until 03, except on UT Mondays. More discussion from my report last week of WCCO 830 Minneapolis, echoing from two transmitters at once, this from Scott Feibusch on IRCA. WCCO is one of the rare AM stations, I know of fewer than a dozen around the country, with a full-power auxiliary transmission facility at a different location. It's listed under an application with an X, a giveaway that it's an auxiliary license. It's a shorter tower than the main one, so it will have different skywave propagation characteristics. Nearly impossible as it is for a big 50 kilowatt AM to be operating simultaneously from two sites, WCCO appears to be one of very few places where it actually could happen. Two completely separate sites with separate transmission paths, neither shared with any other station that would be affected, both operating unstaffed most of the time, and no co-located studios where someone would immediately notice the problem. Les Rayburn in Alabama says, I noticed that WTNI 1640 Biloxi, Mississippi has changed format, now relaying programming from their translator. Featuring frequent IDs, branding as 106.3 Casino Radio, promoting tourism along the Mississippi Gulf Coast, the gaming industry, etc. Segments explain how to bet on roulette, place a parlay bet on sports, etc. This is nearly nonstop IDs and branding, mentions of Biloxi very distinctive programming that will stand out on the frequency. The new programming should make it easier to log them. It gets out well with 1 kilowatt at night. Mark W. Persons owns 11 medium-wave stations in Minnesota, and on his website has a page dedicated to DX reports, many of them from Scandinavia, It's mwpersons.com/dx/index.html. Via John Johnson, IRCA, Robert Wayne in Albuquerque says, KKNS 1310 in Corrales, New Mexico is back on air again, simulcasting KTNN 660 with Talk in Navajo. When last on the air in August, they were studying with classical music. For New Mexico News, a station I listen to on webcast, KSFR Santa Fe has changed time of one of my favorite shows with world music, Beyond Borders, hosted by Susan O'Hori. No longer UT Tuesdays at 04 to 07, but now Thursdays at 16 to 19 UT. From Inside Radio, December 31st, via Mike Terry. FCC fines are going up in 2021 for radio, both legal and pirate stations. Nearly a year after Congress raised pirate radio fines to as much as $2 mega per violation, the price of unlicensed broadcasting is going up again. But this time it's the result of the annual review of civil penalties, which under federal law, the FCC is required to adjust for inflation. This year, the Office of Management and Budget calculates the annual inflation rate at just over 1%, to be exact 1.01182%, which will be reflected in proposed fines issued by the FCC. The adjustments in civil monetary penalties that we adopt in this order apply only to penalties assessed on or after January 15, 2021, says Enforcement Bureau Deputy Chief Lisa Gelb. For broadcast radio and TV stations and cable operators, the Enforcement Bureau says the new daily maximum penalty for each violation will be $51,827, up to a maximum of $518,283 for any single violation or failure to comply with FCC rules. The potential maximum penalty for airing programming ruled obscene, indecent, or profane are even steeper. The Bureau said they can total as much as $419,353 for each violation, or each day of a continuing violation, with a maximum total penalty of up to $3,870,946. The Pirate Act, preventing illegal radio abuse through enforcement, was signed into law in January by President Trump. It gave FCC authority to fine pirate operators $100,000 per day, up to a maximum fine of an even $2 million. But that figure is also rising with inflation. Starting January 15th, the maximum fine will be $101,182 per day, up to a maximum of $2,023,640. Landlords who turn a blind eye to pirates operating from buildings they own could also face similar fines under a policy change adopted by the FCC in December. Once they are aware of these unauthorized broadcasts, they must take steps to stop it from continuing in their buildings or at other sites they own or control. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field unsettled to active with ANK indices peaking at 10 and 3, January 5th, 6th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. Solar flux bottoming at 84 from January 5th to 14th and back up to 88 by January 18th. Unsolicited testimonial from Mike Gorniak. DX Jukebox on Thursday night from Radio Nederland was a must-hear on my schedule. I hand-copied all of Glenn Hauser's tips and marked them in WRTH and White's radio log for my personal targets to chase. Now I'm still chasing Glenn's tips as well as all of the input from this great World of Radio IO group of dedicated DXers. Thanks to all of you, and I wish you all a very happy and satisfying 2021. As do I. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2067 with a standard disclaimer.